Glenn Beck.
Well, have you looked at the news and thought to yourself, what the hell is going on? Have you looked at the news and tried to figure out, how did we get here? How do we not even know what the truth is anymore? How can we be living at a time where you don't even know how to navigate, because what was totally acceptable yesterday can be something that you get fired for tomorrow? Colin Kaepernick. I'm trying to figure out what he sacrificed, how he could possibly be compared to Muhammad Ali, and how Nike can flush millions, if not billions, of dollars worth of stock market value overnight with an ad campaign that will alienate half of the American audience. And they'll have backbone. How can we see this so differently as people? Well, there's two words that explain almost everything, and it's cultural Marxism. Now, cultural Marxism sounds made up, but actually it is a thing. It's an idea that a few Marxists at the Frankfurt School in Germany dreamed up as a way to bring about Karl Marx's dream after they were frustrated that the worldwide proletariat revolution didn't break out. This is right after World War II. And they started looking at America. They're like, they're driving these big, huge cars. Everybody's got a house. These people aren't going to stand up and revolt. They're not going to. Capitalism is winning. They didn't know what to do. And so they got together and Frankfurt School in Germany in about 1959, and they said, okay, so we have to come up with a way to let people know how oppressed they are. They're so oppressed in those big, huge Cadillacs with the giant fins, they don't even know they're oppressed. They believed the world was too brainwashed on capitalism, so they needed to deprogram everyone. And they had to make everyone first question reality. Now, this has been going on for a very long time, but we are in its final phase now. Truth, facts, none of it mattered, so long as everyone began to doubt the system. Now, it has taken them decades to get here. But this is what's happening to us. It's critical theory, cultural Marxist. They call it critical theory, you know, to deprogram your evil little capitalist brain and all that centers around the criticism of the Western culture. And it goes like this. The Western capitalist society is a culture of domination, but only the Marxists can liberate you. Cultural Marxists from the Frankfurt School using critical theory. They were the ones who first talked about climate change and environmentalism. Why? To show the Western world is dominating nature. They were the ones who brought up feminists because, of course, Western society dominates women. They claim to be advocates for African Americans because Western society dominates minorities. All of this was complete bullcrap that didn't matter, so long as people eventually began to view themselves as victims and felt dominated. Do you remember when we were originally going into some of this? I remember growing up and hearing my mom and my dad and my grandparents talk about a victim culture. What are we doing? We're making everybody into a victim. Well, now we're there. If you say anything on campus, you can be a victim. They've actually changed the meaning of trauma. Trauma used to be something that everyone could agree on, that could happen, and everyone would have their life disrupted. But we understood that trauma could be dealt with. Now, there's no trauma that can be dealt with. Now we have to protect you from trauma. Trauma is no longer a severe brain injury. Trauma can be anything. I had a rough childhood. We were poor. And now you're bringing up poor people and you're traumatizing me. I'm a victim. Concepts like individualism and free market, they knew would fade away, opening the door for a Marxist takeover. That is what cultural Marxism is. This is where we're headed. This is where we are. And we need to educate ourselves on it. Let me give you an example. You've read Tom Clancy. Have you ever read Tom Clancy? We all know, I mean, Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan is his main character, and Jack Ryan is about as American as you can get, right? So now they have a new John Clancy, Jack Ryan series on Amazon Prime, and it looks pretty cool, right? It dropped on Friday. Apparently, it's really, really great, unless you're a reader of Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair thought in an article they published called Jack Ryan is a Patriotic Nightmare. They thought it was over the top. It's Jack Ryan. It's a Clancy novel. Now, here are some of the actual words from the article. The author is critical of Jack Ryan's, quote, masculine American heroism. Oh, my gosh. The horror. If it wasn't for the masculine American male, we'd all be speaking German today. He's a man. He's unapologetically American. And he's a hero? Oh, pray tell me not. I'll save you from any more of this dribble. It's about 2,000 words of more of the same. Jack Ryan, a man, runs around saving the world with his evil whiteness and even more evil American flag. In the end, you might actually feel patriotic. Yes. And there it is. The cardinal sin for cultural Marxists. Pride for your country. It stops you from feeling as though you've been dominated. You stop longing for a liberator. These are the roots of the culture war that we are currently in. And we must recognize it. Call it by its name. Do not play into the outrage. Or we really will not recognize our country in the very near future.
It's Tuesday, September 4th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, hello, Stu.
Welcome back, Glenn.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back. Mm-hmm. Good to be back.
Solve any global issues, climb any mountains?
No. Read several books. I've got several books that I want to tell you about that are great. And we're going to have the authors on here in the next few days. But I think there's something that has changed. And it is this understanding, at least in the intellectual elite category of both the left and the right, the classic liberal, the one who thought that they were a progressive the whole time, and then they went, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm not. Wait, hold it, that's not what I was for. Those people are starting to wake up and start to say, wait a minute, warning. And there's enough evidence out there that shows what the real lies are. And I want to talk about those coming up. There's a new book out, came out today, The Coddling of the American Mind, which is fantastic, by Jonathan Haidt and Greg Lukianoff. And it talks about the three great lies that are happening right now. And this particular book really talks about what to do as a parent. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. But we see things so differently now. For instance, let me start with a recap of the funerals over the weekend. Okay. Since, first of all, let's talk about both of them. Aretha Franklin and John McCain. Both of them should have been dignified. I mean, Aretha Franklin is a legend. Just the fact that she took a song that was written about a guy coming home and wanting some sex. Do you know that story? The original story behind Respect it was written for a guy and originally sung by a guy. I don't remember which guy it was. And it was sung, and it was basically, look, I'm coming home. You got to show me a little respect, meaning sex. Okay.
Really?
I want sex from my wife.
Is this an urban legend?
No. This is true. This is real. So she flipped that around. She flipped that around and she made it about real respect. Okay. I'm going out and I want real respect here. It's remarkable. Just a remarkable woman. Her funeral was a circus in many ways. First of all, Louis Farrakhan, there is absolutely no reason why anyone should have Louis Farrakhan or, and I'm sorry, sit on the same dais as Louis Farrakhan. Can you imagine if there was a funeral and Richard Spencer was sitting at the end? Do you think that any American president, any preacher would sit next to him?
No.
If they did, they'd be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's a guy who is unbelievably racist, a guy who is plotting for the and rooting for the death of the Western society and the rise of militant Islam to kill all white people.
Not to mention Jews.
Yeah, we know.
He certainly wants that done. Not to mention he basically admitted to getting someone killed earlier in his life.
Malcolm X.
So there was seems like an iffy.
He's a little dicey.
Yeah.
He's a little dicey. But then you put Bill Clinton up there with Ariana Grande, who he's got this creepy leer going on.
Oh, yeah. He liked that show. I will say, I don't know what medicine that guy's taken, but it just doesn't end. He seems to have an unending appetite. It's incredible.
And to be doing that at the funeral for the woman who said, give me some respect. Some respect, not sex. Respect.
It's hard to take the respect thing seriously when you invite Bill Clinton.
And Louis Farrakhan. Okay, so then you have the preacher. You've got three preachers. And only one of them is in trouble. Okay. First, you have the preacher who gets a little handsy with Ariana. And he starts with this joke. Go ahead, play Bishop Gets Handsy.
I've got to apologize because I have to brush up. My 28-year-old daughter tells me, Dad, you are old at 60. When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell. Oh my God. Girl, let me give you all your respect.
Let me give all your respect. As he's reaching
for her
breasts.
Did y'all enjoy this icon? She's an icon.
I mean, it's a little disconcerting. So will he be called out for making a Taco Bell reference? I mean, holy cow. Can you imagine if Donald Trump would have said that? It would have been the greatest scandal of all time, let alone saying that at Aretha Franklin's funeral.
You remember what a big deal it was when he ate a taco salad during the campaign? He ate a taco salad and they took a picture of him and he said something like, you know, hey, it was, you know, this is the best taco salad at Trump Tower. And everyone's like, oh, he's insulting Mexicans.
But that was like, it's unbelievable.
It was like a big thing.
It's unbelievable. But it doesn't start. It doesn't stop there. It gets much, much worse. And to the point to where the one guy who's in trouble is the only guy who spoke the truth. Cultural Marxism. We'll get to that here in just a second. First, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's Blinds.com. And one of the best ways to transform not just the look of your home, but how it feels is with brand new made-to-order custom blinds from Blinds.com. The team at Blinds.com makes it really easy for you with free samples, free shipping, and free online design consultation. They're going to help you choose the right blinds that are right for you and guide you through the entire measuring and installation process. The thing I like about Blinds.com is they're never trying to upsell you. In fact, Stu has the best example. He put shutters in through Blinds.com, and they recommended a different shutter that was less expensive. They said they're better, actually.
Yeah, you can save some money and you're going to get just as good a look. And they were right. It's changed the entire vibe of the house.
When does that happen? Blinds.com. This is why they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. 20 years in the business. Over 20 million blinds sold. Go to Blinds.com, read the reviews, see your before and after pictures, and get the latest trends in colors and patterns, and get all the help you need. Today is the last day of Blinds.com's Labor Day sale. Save up to 50%, plus take an additional 5% off site-wide with the promo code BECK. That's 50% off, plus an additional 5% site-wide at Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Today is the last day. Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions do apply. Okay.
So the clergy member who is in trouble is not the one who is groping Ariana Grande on stage at a funeral.
Or saying that she's a Taco Bell item.
Right. Okay. Not that one.
No.
Not Louis Farrakhan.
Not Louis Farrakhan.
The minister who is...
And not this guy. Mm-hmm. Play Michael Eric Dyson. Now listen to this. From the Aretha,
we are black
Aretha Franklin.
In Detroit. We don't care. Take your shoes off. Dip it in the water. Get baptized. And then this orange apparition had the nerve to say she worked for him. You lugubrious leech.
Ugh.
You dopey doppelganger of deceit
Ganger.
And deviance. You lethal liar, you dim-witted dictator, you foolish fascist. She ain't worked for you. She worked above you. She worked beyond you. Get your preposition
okay.
right.
Stop. So did you really hear anything about that other than the right media? Did you hear really anything about that? I mean, that's quite a mouthful there.
Somebody got a thesaurus for his birthday.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He did in a rhyming dictionary.
Mm.
I mean, what is the difference between this and Paul Wellstone's funeral? Do you remember how ugly that was? What was that, 25 years ago, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Where this guy, you know, he's powerful, a very big progressive.
Had a plane crash, right?
Yeah, dies suddenly, and they turn it into a political rally. It was ugly. Okay, so the guy whose hands on Ariana Grande calls her, you know, a Taco Bell item, not in trouble. Louis Farrakhan, not a problem. In fact, let me show Andrea Mitchell. Here's what she actually said about Louis Farrakhan.
It's interesting to see the panoply of civil rights leaders. Of course, right there at the church, we see Reverend Al. We see the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, but was so close to Aretha Franklin and is part of that legacy. Bill Clinton, of course, there and is going to give one of the eulogies. And also the Reverend Farrakhan, a very controversial leader from the Nation of Islam, who is also there. So it's an inclusive group. We can see also on screen some of that.
It's an inclusive group.
Hmm.
It's an inclusive group. Could you just give me the definition of panoply?
Yes, a complete or impressive collection of things, a splendid display.
Okay, all right. A complete collection of things. Well, where is, I don't know, Franklin Graham? Where's anybody that disagrees with Sharpton and Jackson and Farrakhan? That's not a smorgasbord.
Right.
That's, hey, come on, you've got meat, meat, and meat. You got everything you need. Your three food groups, meat, meat, and meat. No. They're all exactly the same. They're all coming from the same direction. They're all cultural Marxists. And on top of it, one of them is a real racist anti-Semite.
Is it okay to call someone who wants to kill all white people and all Jews a civil rights leader?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. All right. So, and when did Bill Clinton become a civil rights leader? But they're not in trouble. As you just heard, NBC's fine with that. Who's the guy in trouble? I'll play that next. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. It's good to be back off of vacation. We have a great fall season lined up for you with some really incredible guests and topics that we've been working on for quite some time that I think you're really going to be excited about. Coming up next hour, I have some exciting things to share with you. And we have a new book come out. Is it next week or the week after?
2 weeks from today, right?
2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
Addicted to Outrage just got the first copy in.
You've got a copy.
I've got a copy. And it is it's really good. We worked really hard on this. I you know, it's, who was it? Was it Jonah Goldberg that said, if you haven't learned something,
when you start a book, if you don't change it by the end, then you're not doing it the right way. You should be learning things as you're writing the book.
Right.
With so much research and all the work that you're putting into it, it should actually change your beginning thesis a little bit.
So it changed so much that I've written this twice. I wrote it, finished it, and then went back and went, it's not right. It's just not right. Went back again, and I would still like to rewrite it because I'm learning so much on this topic. But it'll help bring you up to speed on what I think the real issue is here in America, and the hidden pitfalls. We are legitimately addicted to outrage, and science proves it out. And once you're addicted, you're a slave to it. And outrage stops you from thinking. It puts you into fight or flight. And what we're doing is fighting. And I'm not saying that you retreat. There is no flight on this one. It's just understand the addiction that you're going through right now because of social media. And the book explains all of it and shows all of the science. But that's only really the first couple of chapters. The rest of it is about here's what we should be talking about. These are the big issues. And these are the things that will bring us back together. Right now, we're living in a society that is, we care about all of the little things. We'll fight to death over the little things, the meaningless things of life. But when it comes to the truth, the big principles, it doesn't seem like it matters. Truth doesn't matter. Principles don't matter. Big concepts don't matter. Nothing matters. But we'll fight to death over the little things. So let me give you this example of the outrage at Aretha Franklin's funeral. We just showed you the outrage about racism is bogus with many people. They're not truly outraged. Otherwise, you would have been truly outraged by the pastor calling Ariana Grande a Taco Bell item. Okay, doesn't that fall into the cries of racism that we've heard for so long? Of course it does. So that shows that outrage isn't real. The Me Too movement. You have Bill Clinton ogling Ariana Grande, and then you have the preacher grabbing her breasts. Not a problem. You have no outrage, really, for that. You have no real outrage for people who are actually preaching hatred. Oh, no words, hateful words. Those words, those are dangerous. Otherwise, you wouldn't have Louis Farrakhan there. So who's the one guy that is in trouble? The one guy who spoke actual principles and truth. Now, you can make the case that maybe this wasn't appropriate at Aretha Franklin's funeral, but if the rest of it was, I can't see why this isn't. Here's a woman who fought for respect. The point of this sermon is we have to respect ourselves as a race. We have to respect our lives if we're going to expect others to respect us. Listen to the words. This is the only guy that's truly in trouble for speaking at Aretha Franklin's funeral.
Black America has lost its soul.
The one thing that Black America needs today, more than anything else, is to come back home to God. We lost our soul. Where is your soul, Black man? As I look in your house, there are no fathers in the home no more. Where is your soul? 70% of our households are led by our precious, proud, fine Black women. But as proud, beautiful, and fine as our Black women are, one thing a Black woman cannot do, a Black woman cannot raise a Black boy to be a man. She can't do that. She can't do that. She can't do that. Black man, where is your soul? A study was released not long ago by Tuskegee Institute, and in this study, it showed how the Ku Klux Klan has killed 3,446 Black people over an 86-year span of time. That's an awful lot of Black people for anybody to kill. But the study also revealed that Black people killed that number of Black people not once a year, and not 86 years, but every 6 months. So you multiply times two, the 3,446, that means that we kill 6,000 plus Black people every year. And over that 86-year span of time, that equates to us killing among us 592,712 Black people are killed by Black people. It amazes me how it is when the police kills one of us. We're ready to protest, march, destroy innocent property. We're ready to loot, steal, whatever we want. But when we kill 100 of us, nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. Black on black crime. We're all doing time. We're locked up in our mind. There's got to be a better way.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Tell me what was, let's just go through what he just said. Now, he's the guy in trouble for speaking at Aretha Franklin's funeral. Why? Well, everybody had an opinion. The other preachers all had an opinion. They had an opinion on Donald Trump. They have an opinion on Ariana Grande. They all had an opinion. What he has is perspective and facts that back up the perspective. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody has an armpit. Doesn't mean I want to smell yours. Everyone has an opinion. Few people have facts and perspective today. Now, let me ask you, what is the bigger problem facing Black society, or really just society? Is it Donald Trump? That's a big one. You could argue that's a big one. It's helping or hurting civilization. You could argue about it all day long, and it's a valid argument. But if Donald Trump is, you know, a giant eagle comes swooping down from the sky and lifts him up, and Gandalf is riding the back of this eagle and drops him into, you know, a lake of fire, do our problems stop? No, I think they actually get bigger. Nobody told us about the giant eagles and that Gandalf was real. It doesn't make our country any different. We don't solve anything by getting rid of Donald Trump. We don't solve anything. I guarantee you, if Donald Trump was hit by a bus today or impeached, the same arguments are going to be happening, except this time it'll be about Mike Pence. And if it wasn't Mike Pence, it would be Mitt Romney. If it wasn't Mitt Romney, it'd be Ronald Reagan. And if it wasn't Ronald Reagan, it would be Bill Clinton. And if it wasn't Bill Clinton, it would be Barack Obama. Nothing changes. What's the bigger problem? He talks about fatherless homes. 70% of African-American homes are fatherless. Do you realize before the Great Society, that wasn't true? Do you realize that in, I think it was 1960, African-American homes were the most stable of all homes? What happened? How'd that fall apart? Can we talk about that? He says, women cannot raise a man. Oh my gosh, how controversial. No, actually, no, it's not. A role model is really important. Why do we have big brothers and big sisters? Why do people say, well, we need to have somebody, you know, we need to have a woman out there to show other women? Role models are important. A woman cannot model a man, just like a man cannot model a lady for your children. You're watching your mother. That's how a woman behaves. That's what a boy grows up saying, I want to marry someone like that. Whether they like it or not, they do. And the same with the girls. They marry their fathers. Okay. What he's saying here is we need a role model in the house. But that's not what's heard. How dare you say women can't raise a man? Excuse me? How dare you say it's different? Perspective. Klan has killed 3,400 people over 86 years. Horrible. Not to diminish the horror of the Klan, because it's more than just killing. It's terror. But he says, if we really care about things, what about black on black crime? In 86 years, 3,400 people and terror. But what about the terror of living in inner cities? What about the terror of living in an African-American community in the worst part of Chicago? In those same 86 years, 592,712 blacks were killed by blacks.
And the same can be said about those areas as well. You think terror doesn't exist for mothers with their kids going to school in those areas? It does.
I know. And it doesn't diminish police brutality. It doesn't diminish sexism. It doesn't diminish racism. It's saying, let's get things into perspective here.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it this way. If you were to be able to reduce black-on-black violence by 10%, or you could pick eliminating completely police-on-black violence, you would be much better off keeping the police-on-black violence and getting rid of 10% of the black-on-black violence. A lot more black people would be alive. If you had those two things to choose from, the right one to do would be to just take a little bit away.
And here's the good thing. Nobody's making you choose. We can do all of those things.
Absolutely.
But you have to be willing to talk about it. And we don't. Because no one is actually concerned about the problems.
One other minor thing. I mean, I know funerals are different around different cultures. But we heard about how bad Donald Trump was and how about black-on-black violence.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she die of pancreatic cancer? Like, did I miss a story where Aretha Franklin was murdered by Donald Trump or killed by a police officer? Was that... She died of pancreatic cancer. What, it was just one of a bunch of speeches.
I have to tell you. We'll take that on after after I address the McCain funeral. And that's coming up. Now, for most Americans, their home is the biggest investment you're ever going to make. That's why we have Mercury Real Estate's realestateagentsitrust.com. Working with a right agent can make a significant difference in the outcome of buying or selling a home. We have 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. Their word is their bond. They're fans of the show. They share your sensibilities. They're looking for a fair deal. They want the most amount of money, but they don't want to rip anybody off. And they want the best price. But again, they don't want to rip anybody off the homeowner. Everybody needs to win. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. These are hand-selected agents that have been fully vetted. They know the area that you are in. They know how much your home is worth. They're not just going to list it. They will help you do the things to your house and make the suggestions to do things to your house that will increase its value. And then they're going to get it sold on time and for the most amount of money. You want to sell your house? RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Put them to the test. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. I have some really exciting things to share with you coming up in just a few minutes. Also, have we found out when we're announcing the tour? I'm going out coming up in 6 minutes or 10 minutes. Okay, I guess in 10 minutes we're going to be announcing a tour. I haven't done a tour in probably 5 or 6 years, and we're going to, I don't know how many cities, 10 or 12 cities across the country. It is coming this fall. Tickets are going to be available. We're going to announce those cities when we come back. Stand by.
Glenn Beck.
Judges in California have ordered now Sherwin-Williams, the paint company, to pay hundreds of millions of dollars for dangerous advertising. Now, some of their advertisements were for products that included lead paint. All right. Well, lead paint was banned in 1977, and for good reason. So it's fair to say that a company shouldn't be advertising a product that is dangerous to the public, right? I mean, you know. But that's not what's happening here. Sherwin-Williams stopped marketing lead paint in 1943, okay? 1943, 34 years before it was banned. The judges are basing charges against Sherwin-Williams on ads that ran in the Los Angeles Times and San Diego Union in 1904. Everybody involved in the campaign, everybody who made the paint and painted with the paint, they're all dead, okay? Now, I'm for companies being held accountable for dangerous or misleading advertising, but this feels kind of like a reach, maybe. I mean, just a little bit. The scientific proof didn't even exist in 1904. If the science didn't exist, there certainly weren't any laws regarding lead in paint. They changed the law in 1977. Oh, you remember when kids put plastic bags over their heads and played astronaut? Okay, that was because we were stupid. We didn't know any better. It's a little ridiculous to start finding plastic companies for something so retroactive, but this is a much clearer case. A better example is seatbelts. Cars have been around for a long time before the empirical evidence came out in favor of using seatbelts. Seatbelts weren't even mandatory in cars until 1968. People weren't required to use them until even later. All right. Well, Tucker had a seatbelt, the first car to have a seatbelt in the 1950s. Should we go back and sue all the car companies for advertising cars without seatbelts? Jan Jaffe is Executive Vice President of Government Relations for the Association of National Advertisers. It's a trade group of marketers. Filed a brief in support of Sherwin-Williams and said, quote, "You can't demand companies have clairvoyance. It's the precedent we're concerned about here. We believe that what they're doing in regard to Sherwin-Williams certainly will apply to many other categories." Wait a minute, if they pass this, could we sue Barack Obama for being for traditional marriage when he was for traditional marriage before it was cool to be for same-sex marriage? It boils down to the balance between justice and mercy. It's a concept we talk about in the book that I've written. It's coming out soon, Addicted to Outrage. Justice, meaning if you break the law or cut in line, you're punished, you're corrected. Justice is essential in society. Without it, civilizations break down. But also, it has to be balanced by mercy. Or the state devolves into a communistic, totalitarian, Stalinist state.
It's Tuesday, September 4th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You got to get out of California. You got to get out of California. Have you heard the latest with California on the board of directors for companies? You haven't heard this?
Nah.
Oh, this came out last week. Mm. This one. They're going to pass a law. They're thinking about passing a law, making it a requirement that you include women on the board of directors for every private corporation. So you have to have women on your board of directors.
First of all, yeah, aren't we in the time where we're not allowed to define a woman as a woman? We're in that time now, and that's the time that everyone's jumping on this.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Gender, that is bizarre. I mean, again, affirmative action, can you even do that? I mean, when it comes to, if there's equal opportunity employment, right,
mm-hmm.
where you're not allowed to favor a man over a woman, but we're going to legally require you favor a woman over a man?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. In the postmodern world, of course.
That you want to talk about postmodernism.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay. I'm a little nervous about this. We're going to announce a tour, which I haven't done a stage tour in.
It's been a long time.
It's longer than 6 years. I don't think I've been on a tour in many, many years. But a stage tour.
Yeah, I mean, it's been probably 5 or 6 years.
Oh, it's been longer than that.
Really?
Yeah, it's been since we were at Fox, I think. I'm a little nervous, but but what the hell? Throw caution to the wind. What the hell? So we're going to do a tour, and it's a book tour that is going to start in October, and it's going to run almost through Christmas time. Tickets are going to be available today, pre-sale only. That starts at 2 p.m. local time today. You can find out all the information and grab your tickets at glennbeck.com/tour. But these are the cities that we are coming to that we're ready to announce today. I believe we are going to be adding a few more cities. San Antonio, October 25th. Houston, October 26th. Dallas at the Majestic Great Theater, October 27th. Richmond, Virginia, November 1st. Hershey, Pennsylvania, November 2nd. Pittsburgh, November 3rd. Cleveland, November 4th. My funeral, November 5th.
We're going to be talking about how bad the orange fascist is and how bad black-on-black violence is. Those will be the two topics.
Holy cow. November 13th, Kansas City, Missouri. November 14th, Evansville, Indiana. November 15th, Tulsa, Oklahoma. November 30th, Tampa, Florida. December 1st. Orlando, Florida, and a few other dates that I'm very excited to announce. We're going to be doing something a little bit different, I think, in those cities. We'll announce those later.
Can we, if you want tickets to this thing and you want to see Glenn, at some point in this tour, he's obviously going to collapse on stage and you want to be at that show. We can't tell you in advance which one that will be.
I have a friend who went to the to the last concert that Elvis did.
Mm-hmm.
Said he was just a sweaty mess. And then, a week later, he died in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be that tour.
It could be.
This could be that tour.
We were going to call it the Sweaty Elvis Bathroom Tour, but they didn't approve it, right. Sadly.
They thought nobody's going to want to buy that ticket. So
the tickets go on sale 2 p.m. your local time. You go to glennbeck.com/tour. glennbeck.com/tour. And when you get there, you have to use the pre-sale password, The Blaze. On here, it's all one word, so I would try that.
Okay.
The Blaze, all one word.
Those are for pre-sale. It'll go on, for regular sale in the next couple of days, I assume.
But. Yeah, so they're offering it to, listeners of this program. a few days in advance. So you can get in, get the best seats at 2 p.m. today. Glenbeck.com/tour. The password is The Blaze.
The Blaze. Can you talk about the, you know, what the packages are? Because there's several different, things that we're doing. I swear to you, it's dead within the first week.
Yeah.
There's a couple packages there. The VIP, which gets you a meet and greet, you know, photographs, a personalized signed copy of Addicted to Outrage, some, you know, early entry, blah, 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 blah. And then the elite, because we just, we want to cater to the elites. We're like, yeah, you're an elite. You listen to this program, you're an elite.
I kind of agree with Trump's analysis on elite, that it's got a bad rap for no reason. What do you try to do? When you're in the NFL, you try to become an elite quarterback. The idea that you want to become elite is something that we should strive for. Not, you know, we've played into this left-wing thing that being an elitist is bad. I want to be an elitist. I aspire to be one. Someday I hope to get there.
I don't know if I want to be an elitist.
I do.
But I would like to be elite. I want to be an elitist. A member of the elite.
I want to be so elite that I can't even see the normally rich people below me. That's how elite I want to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is great.
I'm working on it. I'm not close yet.
Well, I know the ticket that you should buy then.
Okay.
All right. And then, you know, just regular assigned seating tickets also available. I'd really like to see you. This is going to be a very, very different tour than anything that we've ever done. We have, you know, I just haven't been nervous.
It's been a while since we normally don't let you out around people.
I know.
It doesn't always work out well.
Very nervous.
You're not comfortable around people. But your stage shows are good. I think it's because you're not one-on-one interacting with them.
One's different.
Well, yeah, but I think you're going to do... these shows are usually really good shows.
No, the shows are really good. That doesn't mean that I'm good in them, but the shows are really good. It is a spectacle one way or another.
Yeah.
You're going to go, "That I got my money's worth." Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't expect people to set him on fire. and then for him just to spontaneously put himself out with his own sweat. I didn't expect that, but it was worth the money.
It was a Shyamalan-like twist with the sweat putting out the fire.
All right, so if you want to buy the tickets, and please tell a friend, and I hope to see you there. A very different tour, Addicted to Outrage. All the details at glenbeck.com/addicted to outrage. Okay. I want to talk to you about a couple of things that I read over the vacation break that I think are so clarifying, and it gives me a lot of hope because there is a direction. You know, I have the Addicted to Outrage coming out, and I've found three books just in the last week that are pretty much supporting legs to the book that I've written. I wrote a general book that says, okay, so we're addicted to outrage. Here's the scientific evidence that shows it. Here's how it's working. Here's how these companies or these parties are using these things. Here's why it's so destructive in your own personal life. Here's why it's really destructive to our society. Here are the things that we should be talking about, and here's how we can get away from all of that. I've read a couple of books over the holiday that I want to share with you that go deeper in parts of what is in Addicted to Outrage that really, I think, if you're a voracious reader, you should put these on your list. The gateway drug, I think, is Addicted to Outrage. The supporting evidence is starting to become quite apparent to many, many really deep thinkers from both the left and the right, which I think is telling and exciting. I'll go into that here in just a second. First, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. We are thrilled to have as a sponsor American Finance. Now, American Financing is a group of people, is a family-owned and operated group that is now nationwide, huge. They've grown so big because they treat people right. They don't have any of their salespeople, if you will, their financial loan officers being paid on commission. So nobody is trying to sell you a certain kind of loan, because the banks don't give you a loan. They sell you a loan. And you realize that once you're signing the loan papers and you're like, how much is this costing me in the end? You see it through the interest payment. So owning your own home, coming up with the right payment, coming up with the right loan instrument for you is really important and can be done by people who are working for you if you go through AmericanFinancing.net. They don't work for the bank. They work for you. AmericanFinancing.net. You're going to close fast. You're going to get pre-approval really super fast. And when they actually have to underwrite, it's all in-house decision-making. It's American Financing. AmericanFinancing.net. Call them now. AmericanFinancing.net. 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation. NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck.
We're just talking about the tour. We just announced, if you just tuned us in, we just announced a 12-city tour. And it's Tulsa, Tampa, Orlando, Evansville, Indiana, Kansas City, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Richmond, Virginia, San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. More cities to come.
It's going to be really funny.
It is going to be funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much material out there right now.
I've been collecting material for this tour for months.
Yeah.
I can't wait to show you. I've brought some new stuff in. I cannot wait to show you. We've been looking for, and I would ask that you would do this for us or with us. We're looking for people, the craziest outrage where you can't. Have you ever read those posts where you're like, I can't believe they're actually outraged by this? And they are really very upset about something that is totally meaningless. We're looking for the most outrageous tweets and comments on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. And if you could send them to us, just tweet addicted to outrage, hashtag addicted to outrage. And send us those because we're going to be using the best of those on tour. And I think you're going to enjoy the selection we already have.
Yeah, and I think that's something to collect. I love doing those stories of people, because you see this on the left so often. I mean, it happens everywhere, but on the left, when they just get so outraged about the most nonsensical thing, from, you know, we showed in that funeral of someone listing the statistics about violence in a community, and that was offensive. We saw, you know, you see people about a certain pronoun. If they're called the wrong pronoun, they get upset. Cynthia Nixon. Mm-hmm. Is in the news. She's she is running for governor in New York, and she has come out and said she's offended because people say if she won, she'd be the first lesbian governor of New York, and she wants people to know she is not a lesbian. She is queer. What used to be an insult is now. I don't even know.
Yeah, I know.
And it kind of seems like the definition, as they went through it in the article, was like, it's just kind of open ended.
Yeah.
It kind of means whatever.
There might be a just shut up section to the show. I'm not sure, where, you know, the catchphrase is shut up.
Mm. Or how about the mom that was investigated because she let her 8-year-old child walk their dog around the block.
Yeah.
First, the police came, and I guess the police were like, all right, because they got a call, they had to show up, mm-hmm. and they pretty much handled it right. Okay, we obviously see there's nothing there. But then it was Child and Family Services followed up.
Yeah.
And they checked in to make sure this 8-year-old couldn't walk a dog by himself.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot to say about that. We'll take that here in a second. Let me go first to Peter in California. Hello, Peter.
Good morning, Mr. Beck.
How are you?
I am very well today. When are you coming to the West Coast? I'm happy to organize human shields for you.
The West Coast is not off the table. There's a few dates and a few cities that we're still looking at, trying to get the right place. If we do come to the West Coast, we're going to be doing something very unique that I think you're really going to like.
A lot of the theaters book up really early for Christmas dates as we get closer and closer to the holiday. There's so many Christmas shows that are on the road.
And we are going to do one massive Christmas show, and we'll tell you about that. That has not been announced yet, but do one massive Christmas show. Find all the details at glenbeck.com for the tour.
Question here from Liberty Cannon. They write...
Liberty Cannon?
Yes, writes, is this tour part of Glenn's new weight loss program? Will you be walking the tour, or are you going to use transportation?
I hope to come out in one of those little, you know, wheelchair things that they use at the shopping, you know, or like...
With the carts?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you know, I could get it rented. I'm going to be in Orlando. Might as well get it from Disney and just kind of wheel out.
On the stage? You're going to do the show in one of the...
Yeah, don't you think?
Actually, it would be really funny. And we could say it's a joke and part of the show.
Right, it's
I'm
not.
I'm sitting because this is entertaining. That'd be great.
No, it's just that I'm so fat I can't walk anymore. That's it. I'm so fat because I drink, and I only drink because I'm fat.
What we could do is we say you're doing the entire tour in a fat suit that you will never remove.
That is true. That is actually true. I may not be alone in this one, but I do have a fat suit. In fact, I have several fat suits. I have a lot of skinny suits too that don't fit me anymore, but a few fat suits, and I will be wearing them.
Addicted to outrage.
Yes, in case you want to be addicted to outrage, here's an 8-year-old who's not able to do the most normal, cheerful thing in the world, and that is walk around the block with your dog. Apparently, when the little girl got home, and I mean she was little, she got home and the doorbell rang. It was the police. Mom was called in to answer a few questions that the police had for her because they had gotten a call about an unsupervised child. The child was 8. She walked the dog around the block. 8. Now this happened in is it Wilmette, Illinois? Wilmette, Illinois is 59% lower crime rate than the national average. It's safer than 83% of the cities in the United States. For every 100,000 people, there are only 3.1 daily crimes that occur in Wilmette. This is not like Detroit or Chicago. What's your earliest memory of doing something as a kid? I know because we moved to a different house before I started first grade. So I had to be in kindergarten. And I know that my mom or my dad, it had to be my mom, gave me some money and said, go run up to the corner store and just get a gallon of milk. And I remember lugging that milk back and it being heavy. By 6, maybe 7, 6, probably. Nobody called the police on me, and you're safe. You're safe. What's the earliest memory you have?
It's interesting. Right around that same age, I probably moved when I was 7. So it was before that in the old town I lived in. And I remember walking to the corner store all the time.
Yeah.
Go to the arcade.
So
there.
You had to be 6?
5, 6, 7, something like that. And then also, I remember, you know, walking around with a friend in the center of town. I have this one memory that I have there. But that had to be, we were just in the middle of town. It had to be a couple miles from where I lived. I don't remember how we got there.
We were all over town. By the time I was 8, 9, we were all over town. We'd ride our bikes anywhere.
Yeah.
And now people have this view that, well, no, things are so dangerous. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Much less dangerous.
Much, much less dangerous.
I mean, when I think of this all the time, when I see a school shooting or something like that, these terrible things that go on, and I'm thinking, oh my God, my kids are in school and they're in danger. And that's, it's an honest and instant parental reaction when something like that happens. However, when I went to high school, I was three times more likely to be shot at school. Actually, it's four times more likely to be shot at school than my kids are today. Four times as likely. I was in much more danger when I went to school than my kids are when they are going to school. And it just doesn't feel that way. But I mean, crime rates have come way down.
The bulletproof backpacks, they can't keep them in stock. Bulletproof backpacks for kids at school. You're four times less likely to be shot today than you were in the 90s. If you're going to school, crime at school, school shootings actually down
by 80%.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I didn't feel in danger of a school shooting when I went to high school.
No,
not at all.
I think the problem is now is social media. We're seeing all of these little things from all over the country. And so they just feel like they're here. No, it's not.
And even when they are big things, they get 50 times the amount of coverage than they did.
And there's three books I want you to, four, counting mine. If you're a voracious reader.
It'd be typical for you to promote three other people's books 2 weeks before your own book release. Einstein.
Sorry. Okay, Addicted to Outrage. My book comes out in 2 weeks. Please pre-order Addicted to Outrage. This is, I really feel, I was just writing to somebody last night. I really feel, you know, people have said to me for a long time, okay, so what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? I feel like we have it again. When I first went to Fox, when I was at CNN, I was searching for an answer. In that time at CNN, I had done my homework and I had found progressivism. And I was like, ah, that's the answer. That's what's happening to us. And here's how you can combat it. And we did an effective job in combating and exposing progressivism. Once it's exposed, once you know what it is, things change. This is even easier to win if it's exposed. But nobody even understands it. Nobody really even gets what's happening. Nobody is talking about it. And it is so very clear once you know what it is that if you don't break the addiction, if you don't break the habit of shoving back, shouting back, or getting angry, it's going to conquer us. But once we know it, you can win. So please pre-order Addicted to Outrage. There's a couple of other books. One comes out today. I just finished it last evening. The Coddling of the American Mind by Greg Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt. This is so great because it not only makes the case of what's going on, but then at the end, it talks about your children in particular. And it says one of the steps that they take, they say there are three great untruths, and these untruths have to be conquered. First one is, what doesn't kill you makes you
stronger.
Not in today's society. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you weaker. We're coddling our children. Okay, that injustice, it didn't kill you, but don't talk about it. Don't let anybody bring that up. Don't, because it'll oppress you even more. So whatever doesn't kill you makes you weaker. It's absolutely untrue. Second, trust your feelings. No, Luke, don't always trust your feelings. Sometimes you should put the little computer thing down in front of you. Sometimes maybe not. But your feelings, especially when anger is involved, can screw up the truth. And the last great untruth is life is just a battle between good people and evil people. Not true. Most people are misguided. most people haven't really thought things through. Most people are not evil. Most people on the left are not evil. Most people on the right are not evil. Yes, there are some. But that's not most people. And by teaching and by allowing ourselves to grab on to, well, they're my enemy. They're my enemy. They're evil. By grabbing on to that, we are teaching our children that there is only defeat. We have to defeat the opposite side. There's no room to coexist because you can't coexist with evil. But coming back to the eight-year-old, you have to encourage your children to go out and do things. We should be encouraging our children. We are crippling our children. The big turn in college campuses was 2013. And the research shows that in 1995, that's when things really changed with parenting. Parenting became a protective order. And that's where everybody started to become way overprotective. The helicopter parents had been around for a while, but that's when everything started to dogpile. You had to have a ribbon and a trophy for anybody who even lost. 1995. Well, those kids entered college in 2013. So as those kids entered college, that's why we're seeing this world where they can't handle anything. They can't handle having an opposing opinion. They can't handle it. The opposing opinion, no, that hurts my feelings. No, that makes me feel bad. That makes me question something that I believe, and that doesn't feel good to me. And that's why you have to literally, they're almost nurseries on college campuses, where some of them actually have, you know, nippies, or what do you know, the pacifiers for college students. This starts with you. Correcting this problem starts with you saying to your kid, it's okay, the neighborhood's safe. You have to do enough research to know if the neighborhood is safe or not, but it is most likely safe. Crime and everything else is way down. There are concerns, but you have a better chance of your children falling into deep trouble online than you do having them walk to the store. So get your kids to ride their bike. Get your kids to ride their bike to school. Let your kid take small risks more and more. My son, well, I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I'm afraid, you know, child services will come down. My son did something that I did when I was 10. He's almost 14. We were out at the farm, and I'll tell you part of it. He drove the big tractor. I mean, we have a big tractor for the farm. He drove the big tractor, and he leveled the driveway and all of the paths. You know, you take the, you know, and regrade the whole thing by himself, driving a big piece of machinery. And I have to tell you, part of me was, I was like, I can't, I mean, is he responsible? I mean, it's a huge piece of machinery. I don't know if he's responsible enough. And then I remembered, I used to do this when I was a kid. It's our training that we've been indoctrinated and fed all this crap about our children that they are not capable. Yes, they are. George Washington went out and was surveying by himself in Indian territory with bear and everything else with no gun at like 13 or 12 years old. Hello? Your kid can't ride his bike to the... Of course. Of course they can. And don't let anybody... You know who I really want to talk to? Is who is the woman that started the free range children?
Oh, yeah. Lenore Scanese.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her. I'd like to. I'm at a place now where I really want to talk to her.
She's great. And we actually had her on the TV show while you were out.
Really?
Yeah. To talk about this 8-year-old story.
What'd she say about this?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, she outlined how ridiculous this is. This is in her own hometown that happened. Where she grew up. And as you point out, it's a lot safer than most of America. And this stuff still continues to go on. And she actually cited a couple of cases that were even more disturbing about how it's starting to play out around the world. In India, this sort of stranger danger thing, and they've edited now. They took a public service announcement that was supposed to be about showing a kid getting kidnapped, and the point was, hey, watch your kids. They edited out the ending where it showed it was a public service announcement, so it looks like a real video of some kid being caught. It was being shared like crazy on social media in India, and like a couple dozen people were murdered because they just showed up to areas and they were unfamiliar, and people thought those people that they're trying to abduct kids, and they were killing them.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
It's really unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We have to root ourselves back into common sense. We are crippling our children by not treating them with more respect. They can accomplish these things. They need to. What, are you going to show up and drive them to school when they're 20? What's the plan? July 2017, Bitcoin down 40%. Palm Beach Letter is our sponsor this half hour. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, Tika Tiwari, expert. He's an expert in those things, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. He wrote in the Palm Beach Letter about an announcement that would bring enormous amounts of money into Bitcoin. At the time, Bitcoin was trading at about $1,850 a coin. He said Bitcoin would hit $10,000 by the end of the year. People thought he was nuts. He has just made another prediction for this year. And what is Bitcoin doing now?
It's been up. It's had a good couple of weeks here, up over 7,000.
He says Bitcoin by Christmas could be $40,000.
Yeah.
He's running out of time on this one. I'd like to have him on.
Yeah, he's going to be on this week, I believe.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear what's happened because he says there are things that are coming that this is what he does for a living. And he said, you're watching him. And I'm telling you, all of the big banks, all of the big investment houses, they're driving the price down by what they're saying publicly. And they're buying up hordes of it right now. This is when the rich get richer because they don't pay attention to what's happening in the mainstream. Anyway, that's his theory. I want you to visit smartcryptocourse.com if you want to find out more about investing in cryptocurrency, what Bitcoin is, how it works, why it's such a big part of the future. Go to smartcryptocourse.com or call 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, or smartcryptocourse.com. Well, the trial is starting, and I mean trial. The witch hunt on Kavanaugh has started today. They're just going to, you know, the senators are going to do what they always do. Blah, 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 blah.
So meaningless. And all the 2020 Democratic hopefuls are all lining up to try to see who can be most anti-Kavanaugh, who can do the most to not even let the hearings start. They're really all trying to do that in a competition against each other so they can all prove that they're really loyal to the Democratic Socialists in 2020.
I've been away for, 12 days.
Didn't miss it?
No, didn't miss any of that.
Wow.
Doesn't mean anything to anybody's life. No, didn't miss it.
Glenn Beck. It's Tuesday, September 4th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I have a little test for you. My wife and I were having a conversation last night, and my kids are in the truck, and they were like, Dad, where are you getting these facts? I said, the United Nations, World Health Organization, you know, all of the places that, of course, are just run by conservatives. And nobody in the family believed me. I'm going to give you a little test. It's from a book I'm reading called Factfulness. 10 Reasons Why We're Wrong About the World. Stu, in all low-income countries across the world today, how many girls finish primary school? In all low-income countries, across the world today? Is it 20%, 40%, or C, 60%?
60 seems high. I mean, you think about places like Iran, right? I mean, like...
all low-income countries.
Right, so I'll say 40.
Feel pretty good about that?
No, I don't feel good about any of this.
60%.
Oh, is it really?
60% in all low-income.
I mean, obviously, room for improvement, but that's better than I think most people would think it is.
Where does the majority of the world population live? In low-income countries, middle-income countries, or high-income countries?
Well, it's pretty much China and India. That's where most of the people live. So I guess you'd consider them to be middle-income?
Middle-income countries.
All right.
Middle-income. This is the biggest lie that people... This professor that wrote this said in 1995, he said, I started asking my students questions about the perception of the world. And he said, you know, this is what I do for a living. He said, so I knew the stats. And I was shocked that the kids were relating to a world that was from the 1960s. He's like, it was 30-year-old data. You know, that most people live in poverty, that they're haves and have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, in the 1960s, haves and have-nots. 1970s. By the 1990s, that was barely true. Now, it's absolutely not true. He said, so in the 1990s, this is the test that he gave. He started his class with this test. Said, let me just ask you these questions. He found that... a very small percent actually knew the answers, except for a couple. And I'll get to them here in a second. But it shows that there is either a concerted effort, which I believe there is, or there is something inside of us that just says, no, I don't want to believe that that's true. Because the facts are very clear. We're no longer living in that have and have not world. Let me give you some more evidence here. In the last 20 years, the proportion of the world's population living in extreme poverty has A, almost doubled, B, remained more or less the same, or C, almost halved.
Now, I'm a person who just read Steven Pinker. Addicted to Outrage has a lot of this in there.
Yes.
Arthur Brooks, Human Progress. Yep. I'm in this where I would say definitely less.
Yeah, almost halved.
Yeah. It's incredible.
So think of this.
It's one of the greatest achievements.
It is. This is one of the greatest achievements of all of humankind. You know, we're arguing about whether we show the flag on, you know, in that stupid, you know, first man or whatever it is, the moon movie. Okay, whatever. This is important. In the last 20 years, the proportion of the world population living in extreme poverty has almost been cut in half.
Incredible achievement.
Incredible achievement.
I believe the number is 70% of people believe it's gotten worse over that period.
Yes. Yes.
So 70% think it's gotten worse. It's been cut in half.
Been cut in half. Okay.
How do we not celebrate that every day?
Well, because you have to have two worlds. You have to have the Western world, who is gluttonous, and you have to have the rest of the world that's living in extreme poverty.
Right.
You have to have the haves and have-nots. But that's not the world today. All right, next. Life expectancy of the world today. Is it 50 years, 60 years, or 70 years? Life expectancy. Think of this, the entire planet.
Yeah, because, I mean, the lowest life expectancy, I believe, is in Swaziland, which is around 40. So it can't be 50 if that's the lowest. It's got to be 60 or 70. 70 does seem high, but I'll go 70.
70.
Yeah.
70. You only know this because we've done so much research recently. Because a lot of this is in the book, Addicted to Outrage.
I just read it. But I mean, what's interesting, though, is this is designed for your average college student.
Yes,
can
it
you
is.
Imagine a kid who came up in the public school system and comes out of public high school and goes into college with this information? They would get every one of these wrong. I mean, I don't. It's because we've been studying lately that even I think the most of the audience might be like, all right, maybe it's a little better than we expect.
Yep. The UN predicts by 2100, the world population will have increased by another 4 billion people. What is the main reason? There will be more children, there will be more adults, or there will be there will be many more very old people, 75 years or older.
Well, I think I would say there'd be more of all three categories, right? More children, more adults as those children grow up, and more old people because of the advances in keeping people alive longer.
According to the UN, there will be more adults, 15 to 74, which leads me to the next. There are 2 billion children in the world today, age 0 to 15. How many children will there be in the year 2100, according to the United Nations? There's 2 billion children, according to the UN.
Okay.
2 billion children today. How many will there be in 100 years or 80 years? 4 billion, 3 billion, 2 billion.
I would say at least 3. In
2 billion. 2 billion. Same.
That's interesting. So
2 billion.
That's a commentary on birth rates, I guess?
Yes, birth rates and the life expectancy on the whole getting a little broader. Hmm. How did the number of deaths per year from natural disasters change over the last 100 years? Hmm. Natural disaster deaths more than doubled, remained about the same, or decreased to less than half.
Decreased to less than half. That
less
one I know.
Less than half.
Yeah, incredible. But when he says less than half, he's understating it. It's way less than half.
Yeah.
It's like 80 or it's like over 90%, if I'm remembering the stat right.
This is from 1995.
Okay, yeah, so.
This is from 1995.
It might not have been that much then. Yeah.
Roughly 7 billion people in the world today. Which map best show? I can't do the map thing. How many of the world's how many of the world's 1-year-old children today have been vaccinated against some disease? 20%, 50%, 80%. Vaccinations.
20 seems low. 80 seems optimistic. From any illness,
could be disease.
I guess go in the middle there. 50,
80, 80%.
That's great.
Worldwide, 30-year-old men have spent 10 years in school on average. How many years worldwide have women of the same age spent in school? Now, what does everybody say?
Women, I mean, basically the rest of the world is, and this one turning into it, is Handmaid's Tale. So they don't get to go to school. They don't get to do anything.
This is worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Men have 10 years in school worldwide. How many do women have? 9, 6, or 3?
3 seems really low. 6, maybe. I mean, I might even go to 9 on that one. But
9. Worldwide, only 1 year less. 9.
Now,
think of that. That includes Afghanistan.
Right. Iran. Right. I mean, like all the North Korea. I mean, there's a lot of places around the world that would bring that average down.
1996, tigers, giant pandas, black rhinos were listed as endangered. How many of these three species are more critically endangered today? 2 of them, 1 of them, none of them.
You know, these numbers are, again, I'm positive on this stuff. I would say 1.
No, none.
Mm-hmm.
How many people in the world have some access to electricity? 20%, 50%, 80%.
Some access. Maybe 80%.
80%.
Yeah.
80%. Here's one.
That's incredible, though.
Here's one.
We brush over these things, but, you know, I think every high school or college student in America would say all three of those species were worse off. And they would say maybe they would say 50% electricity, probably more like 20%, they would think.
Here's the one he says everyone gets right. Everyone gets right.
Uh-oh.
Global climate experts believe that over the next 100 years, the average temperature will A, get warmer, B, remain the same, or C, get colder.
You know what? Get colder. I want to be the one person getting it wrong.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Everyone gets that right. They all say warming.
Correct.
That's the indoctrination. That's Green Week for you. That's when an entire network turns over its programming to promote global warming as the worst danger that humanity can face. And that's just them. I mean, companies do it. Schools do it. Organizations do it. And it's this constant barrage of this. They miss the greatest human achievement. The moon was great. I'm not downplaying the moon, But it doesn't, forget the movie about the moon. The moon journey itself, incredible human accomplishment. Nothing even close to what we've done with poverty over the past 20 years. Not even close. We've saved billions of people's lives. And yet, what do they know about? Global warming. That is so freaking typical. That is a wonderful example of where we are.
So here's the thing. This goes across all categories. This is not just college students. This goes across all categories, okay? Throughout the world. No one is recognizing this. However, it's beyond guessing. It shows how pessimistic we are. Getting chimps to pick A, B, or C, random chimpanzee in the zoo. Get them to say A, B, or Z, or pick A, B, or C. You ask them 12 questions. They should get 4 right out of the first 12. 33% mm-hmm. chance. They should get 4 right. A chimp. We get 2. Humans get 2 out of the 12. Chimps mm-hmm. will do better on this test than we do. What is the bias? Where is the bias coming from? How is that even possible? It's really quite easy to understand. If you have a society that is constantly feeding this poison over and over again, if you have a society that is not looking for nor really willing to consume the good things, you know, no show is ever on that's like, hey, look at the good things that are happening around the world. Nobody would watch that, right? So we're not predisposed to watching it.
Mm-hmm.
We have our schools teaching the opposite because they want to collapse capitalism and the Western way of life. So you can't say good things about, you know, the West and capitalism. Nobody is educated. You must educate yourself or we are going to throw away the greatest thing mankind has ever done. We are going to be remembered as absolutely insane individuals. And we are acting insane. If you look at what we're tweeting about, last hour I asked you to hashtag addicted to outrage. I want you to look for the most... The tweets where you look at and go, really? I mean, this is beyond a first world problem. You're concerned, you're outraged by that? I want you to find left and right. I want you to find the craziest tweets and the craziest comments from Facebook. And I want you to tweet them to us. We're going to use it on our tour. We announced a tour just about an hour ago. We're going to, I think, 12 different cities. We'll give those to you here in just a second. But we're going to use those on the tour and we're going to use them on the air because we've been collecting them for a while. They're crazy. It's crazy. It's not going to be hard to make the case that we are crazy. Historians will look at it this way until they realize, wait a minute, there also was research done on these people at this time that shows they were actually addicted, literally addicted to being outraged. That is about the first, maybe third of this book, the science behind the addiction and what we're addicted and how it's being done to us and how we're playing into it. But my new book, Addicted to Outrage, goes a lot further than that. How we're addicted, why it's bad for us, what we should be paying attention to, and how to untangle ourselves from this mess. Addicted to Outrage. It's available in all bookstores in about 2 weeks. You can pre-order your copy now at glenbeck.com or at Amazon or wherever books are sold. I want to tell you about LifeLock. LifeLock, our sponsor this half hour, they have a new forecast that predicts more than 146 billion records are going to be stolen by cyber criminals over the next 5 years. The U.S., the largest single target during the time. Now, even with this forecast, spending on cybersecurity looks to say must stay relatively flat. We're not spending any more as people, and the federal government isn't. Small businesses are also going to be particularly vulnerable, as many spend less than $500 a year on their cybersecurity. There are so many threats out there, and you don't have to spend a buttload of money. You just have to spend it wisely. The new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now is adding the power of Norton Security to help protect you against the threats to your identity and to your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. Nobody can stop all cyber threats, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with the new Norton Security can see the threats that you might miss on your own and then fix them. LifeLock.com. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck. Get an extra 10% off of your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift certificate with annual enrollment. That's promo code Beck. Promo code Beck at LifeLock.com. 1-800-LIFELOCK. LifeLock.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Welcome to the program. We are going on tour for the first time in many years, and we've announced, I think, 12 cities to kick off the tour, and it'll start in October. It's our Addicted to Outrage tour, happening at a stage or a theater near you.
October 25th in San Antonio, the 26th in Houston, October 27th in Dallas, then November 1st in Richmond, the 2nd in Hershey, and the 3rd in Pittsburgh, the 4th in Cleveland, November 13th. In Kansas City, November 14th in Evansville, Indiana, November 15th in Tulsa, and then November 30th in Tampa and Orlando, December 1st. The way to get tickets is going to glenbeck.com/tour. And when you get there, it's a presale, so you got to have the code to get the tickets. The presale password is The Blaze.
Okay. And that presale begins at 2 p.m. local time. Today, so the presale, 2 p.m. local time. Remember, to be able to get the presale tickets, it's just for this audience, so you'll have to use the promo code THEBLAZE, all one word. And again, that's 2 p.m. your time. And there will be some additional tour dates that are going to be announced here as we go on. Addicted to Outrage, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to hopefully announce some an additional kind of fun thing tomorrow on the tour, and Stu's going to be coming with, and it's going to be, I'm seeing this as much more interactive with you, and when we've ever done interactive shows, they can get a little dicey.
Have you noticed that in the past?
I have noticed that in the past. I think we have some things planned that are going to be a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. So come and bring a friend. Bring somebody who they think they hate me. I mean, unless it's Donald Trump, because I know he does. So unless it's him, he probably absolutely does. But everybody else, bring somebody that they're like, no. Bring them.
And we'll confirm their hatred.
Yes.
That's right.
They will either look at you and go, I told you, or more likely, they're going to go, that makes sense. That made sense to me. I get it.
That's the thing about common sense. It's usually supposed to be common.
Yeah, not so much anymore.
It doesn't seem like that's the case.
No, it's very uncommon.
Anymore. As you just said with that, you know, that test that the college professors give the students. And what's so interesting about it is it should be the biggest story in the world. Every day should be the biggest story in the world about how we've alleviated poverty for 2 billion people. There's nothing even remotely close to that.
World Health Organization says it's not starvation, it's now obesity is the biggest threat to global health. Obesity!
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
Welcome to the program. I want to talk a little bit about Nike here. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, this is so ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. People comparing him to Muhammad Ali. No, he's not Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, I mean, went to jail.
Also good at his sport. Yeah, it's another thing.
You know, the guy was at the top of his game and went to jail and stood for something because he believed in it. And he took all kinds of political hits from people, but he stood by it and he believed it. Okay, How can you possibly compare Colin Kaepernick to Muhammad Ali?
If you're insane, you can compare them.
Yes.
I mean, yes, he's saying something that some people don't like, which is about the only similarity. And honestly, you know, the thing he's saying, like wearing, you know, socks that depict cops as pigs, you know, should be disliked by Americans. And they are. A lot of it.
I mean, it's not that he's kneeling down for the you know, for the flag, or, you know, it's not. Look, I'm not going to let my emotions be assigned to somebody else. Yeah. If somebody else wants to be a jerk and not stand for the national anthem, that's fine. And, you know, maybe somebody has a good point. I don't think he does. I think this is nothing more than publicity for him. And it's a lifestyle choice. And I think he is I think he's misguided. But if that's what he wants to do, I don't really care. I really don't care.
He's a moron.
He doesn't change my view of the country, and he's not going to change my experience.
Right. And that's an important part of this. First of all, what's one thing that's important here is because they can kneel at any time they want, right? Mm-hmm. They're kneeling during the anthem because it's specifically about the country and the anthem. And they keep saying, well, you don't understand. No, it's not. It's about injustice. If it was about injustice, you could kneel before the opening kickoff when the anthem wasn't going on. And everyone would say, wow, they must be kneeling for injustice. The anthem is an important part of it. And to go further than this, Kaepernick being the hero of this movement is an even bigger signal of what it's about. He's the only one of all these guys that wore socks depicting police officers as pigs. Malcolm Jenkins is the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been protesting about as long as Colin Kaepernick, but he's done it in a respectful way and he's done it in a smart way. And right. he hasn't been, you know, inflaming tensions against police because of it.
I mean, if I'm a police officer today, how do I feel about Nike? It's because it's not about kneeling.
Yeah, it's not about kneeling.
It's not about kneeling. It's about wearing socks that depict police officers as pigs, that the whole mentality that police officers are all bad. That's not true.
It's just not true. But I think you have to avoid an easy trap being set by you for you by the world, which is we allow others to control our actions if we react to every person who has a ridiculous viewpoint by changing our life. For example, this is a story about Nike. Now, Nike's lost over $3 billion in market cap today. And they were about flat for the past week. So the indication is it's got something to do with this potential boycott.
$3 billion wiped off the table.
Right. And I think a lot of people would say, look, good. They made a thing about Colin Kaepernick and they lost $3 billion. Good for us. So, and maybe that's, if that's really how you feel, you can do that. But listen to this. This is the first tweet as they're kind of going through the, you know, people tweeting about this story that they feature in this Reuters article. First, the NFL forces me to choose between my favorite sport and my country. I choose country. Then Nike forces me to choose between my favorite shoes and my country. And I chose country again. Now, I think we can all look at that and say, if I've got that choice, I'm choosing country on both of those too. Over Nike or football, of course I'm choosing the country. This is the country. But what we forget is that we're letting them
dictate
the choice. They are dictating the choice structure. Listen to the wording of this. First, the NFL forces me. Why are you letting the NFL force you to do anything? They have no power over you at all. You're telling me, let's say the NFL is making you make this choice. No, they're not. You're making the choice. Well, Nike's not forcing you to do. They're a stupid shoe company. They can't force you to do anything.
So what they're saying, though, is, you know, this is where people are claiming to be powerless. Well, they're forcing me the NFL because I want to watch football. Well,
you can
watch
it's right
football.
There.
You can watch football. You can watch it without the national anthem. And if you feel badly about it because of what the NFL has done, then don't watch football. But you can't have it both ways. You know, if you're going to, if that creates cognitive dissonance in you, that you're supporting an organization that you think is violating your values, then don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Then don't watch it. And that will make an impact. Same here with Nike. I don't know if these are people selling their shares because in protest or because the market is smart and going, it's not going to be helpful. A Colin Kaepernick campaign is not going to be helpful for their sales.
Right.
And so I don't know who's selling Nike, but that's their decision, and that's good.
But like, we all agree that Colin Kaepernick's point here is in many ways silly. It's not informed by the facts of the situation. He obviously just hates police officers, as you know, mainly shown by his socks, but other statements he's made as well. And we can all look at that and say, Colin Kaepernick, from our perspective, people that might be protesting the NFL, we can all come to this and say, Colin Kaepernick is a moron on this issue. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know the details. You listen to him speak about it. He has no depth when it comes to the story. He doesn't know the statistics. He doesn't know anything about it. Why would we let a person like that define our actions and the things we do? Why would we let a person that we all acknowledge has no information and is not making smart decisions on the topic he's talking about? Why would we let him influence our Sundays?
Let me play the devil's advocate here. Because if somebody doesn't stand up to these things, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, remember, the NFL is the group of people that wanted to make sure that Rush Limbaugh didn't own a portion of an NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
A portion.
Yep.
But they're supporting Colin Kaepernick and Nike is giving him a huge ad campaign.
The accusation of the NFL, it's bizarre because really, have they supported Colin Kaepernick? The guy's not even in the league. The season after he started kneeling, he hasn't had a job since it. So I don't know how they've supported this guy all that much. I mean, there have been the accusation is that the NFL should step in and, you know, fire every player who does it, which, I mean, I guess they probably could in some way. But again, I don't find their opinion to be that important. I don't find some safety on the Green Bay Packers or the Kansas City Chiefs' opinion about police matters all that important. I've looked at the stats. The people in this audience have looked at the stats. They know the truth about the situation. What do we care? What a defensive end on the Miami Dolphins cares about the issue? I don't care what he thinks about it, and I'm not going to let it influence my life.
Well, you are unusual.
I'm very unusual. Yes. And a lot of people tell me that.
Yeah, I know.
You're in all sorts of different situations.
You're unusual. And here's why. Because we feel under attack. And when you're under attack, you pull in and you defend. And so people feel that the country is under attack. And so when you have that outrage or that anger, your thinking centers go down. You go into the fight or flight mode and you stay there and you protect your ground. And I think people have been shoved into a corner for so long that they feel their back is against the wall and they're not going any further because they don't have any more space to go. Because if they go back any further, they're going to lose everything that they have.
I mean, I think that's probably true. But first of all, it's something that I think we should all fight against.
Yes, I do. I agree with you.
We shouldn't turn our brains off when we are, when someone comes after us. And I'm not saying, you know, a lot of people have thought this stuff through and come to different conclusions as I am. And that's fine. But, I'd refer people to, I tweeted this, I think, last week. It was a kind of a rant by Will Cain, who used to be on The Blaze and is now over at ESPN. And he's talking about the issues between race and sports and everything else. And he said, you know, I don't care about, he's talking to Stephen A. Smith, who happens to be black. And he said, I don't care what you say as a black man. I want to know what you say as Stephen A. Smith, because you're an individual. And I care about your opinion as an individual, not as a representative of some collective. I care about people as individuals. I'm an individualist. And we said the same types of things on the air for a long time. If you don't like what Colin Kaepernick says, blame Colin Kaepernick. You need to blame, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of other players in the NFL that are doing the exact opposite. They're standing up every single time for the national anthem. There are thousands and thousands of employees at the NFL who hate what Colin Kaepernick does. Colin Kaepernick isn't even in the league you're talking about, and you're boycotting it. How does that make any sense? You want to boycott Colin Kaepernick because you don't like his opinion? That's fine. But I mean, the idea to come out and boycott an entire league over the idea that, 6%, 3% of its players are doing something offensive. We all lasted through domestic abuse. We've all lasted through players who have killed people through DUIs. We've all lasted through things much more serious than somebody kneeling, even with an uninformed opinion. And I just feel like we constantly let ourselves live in this society where the construction of it is, if someone does something that I don't like, then I am forced to act in this way. Well, you choose which way you react to it. You choose whether you ignore it and don't make it a big portion of your life.
Because we have prepared ourselves and our children, instead of preparing them for the road that they have to walk on in life, we've spent so much time preparing the road. So no one's prepared for anything going down that road. Nobody's prepared. Oh my gosh, that is so bad. Oh my gosh. No, we have to stop trying to change everything on the road and recognize, spooky stuff is on the road. Dangerous stuff is on the road. Funny stuff is on the road. Stuff that'll piss you off. Stuff that you will love. It's all on the road of life. It's all there. Are you prepared to leave your house and walk down the road and see and interact with those things? If you're not, go back in your house. But it's time for us to grow up. To grow up.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you want to boycott Nike, I'm actually happy that they're losing, you know, $3 billion. I'm actually okay with it. I think this is a ridiculous thing. You know, if I were an investor in the company, I would look at it and say, that was a stupid advertising move. That's going to hurt you.
And I'm sure there's been no actual business effects on them. Yeah? Right. These are investors saying, you know what? People are going to do this.
Yes.
Or I don't want to be associated with a company who's doing this.
But you have to get used to this. America is no longer the biggest market in the world. China is. And so companies are going to care less and less about us and more about China. And this is just one example of it. And so they don't have to be American. And one of the reasons why you'll hear about the moon movie, you know, not putting the flag on there, is because some people in the movie company said it will actually hurt the movie outside of domestic ticket sales. Because America is unpopular right now. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. But if you want to do that with Nike, I'm glad. I think that was a stupid business move. But it's their move to make. What I find interesting is that in a time where you cannot find any company that will take a brave stand on anything, they will fire somebody that fast. That this company goes and finds one of the most polarizing figures of our time and elevates him to a hero status to sell shoes, apparently in America. And you watch, they will not bend. Welcome, hopefully, to the world of Dick's Sporting Goods. Seen how much trouble they're in? Sucks to be them, doesn't it?
Yeah, you make these decisions and there are our consequences.
Yep. As my dad used to say, life is nothing but a series of choices, and you have to be able to live with the consequences of each of those choices. All right, sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. One of the best ways to transform not just the look of your home, but how it feels is with brand new made-to-order custom blinds from Blinds.com. The team at Blinds.com makes it super, super easy for you with free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation. They'll help you choose the blinds that are right for you. They'll guide you through the entire measuring and installation process. Even if a tape measure and screwdriver intimidate you. I mean, I don't know who that might be referring to, because certainly. Anyway, they'll answer your questions over the phone, email. They'll even walk you through it with live FaceTime or chat. Plus, you can send them pictures to help guide the recommendations. So, Blinds.com. Go there. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings for 20 years. For a reason. They've sold 20 million blinds. For a reason. They're the best at what they do. Today's the last day of Blinds.com's Labor Day sale. You can save up to 50% plus take an additional 5% off site-wide with promo code BECK. Last day to do this, 50% off plus an additional 5% site-wide at Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions do apply. At least we can't.
Right.
You know, we're just still talking about boycotts. If you're, you know, you'll never see a movie again. Because there's always somebody who is a part of a movie or finance a movie or something that, you know, you disagree with. You're never going to be able to go to see a show. You're never going to be able to. I mean, you're maybe going to be able to see country music concerts. Maybe.
And again, I'm sure there's tons of people at the record company that are making tons of money off your concert that you'd hate.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Amazon just hit $1 trillion in market cap. The second company, only Apple had done that before, and that was just a couple of weeks ago. But I mean, surely you could find plenty of reasons to boycott both of those organizations. There's people that, you know, Jeff Bezos, you don't like the Washington Post. I mean, there's a million reasons why you can come up with. But again, at what point do you live your life instead of trying to make all these little barriers of things you can't do because someone else has done something you don't like?
I want to end the show kind of where we began today. And that is, we're living in a time where the big things, truth, justice, principles, they don't matter to anybody. The only thing that seems to matter are all these things that are just teeny little irritants, first world problems, if you're lucky, and we'll fight to the death over that. But let's get some perspective and look for the core issues.
Beck, Mercury.